Without your looking again at it, I'd like to read one passage for you. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go over under the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other was Sinek. Now, I want to talk tonight on the subject between a rock and a hard place. There are times when life's adversities grip us. There are times when there is a jagged place before us or beside us. There are times when those deep, or the deep calleth unto deep, and there is a rock on either side, and adversities have become multiplied, and then we are between a rock and a hard place. Such was the case in the life of Jonathan and his young bodyguard. They were fighting the Philistines, and Jonathan said, "Let's go over and let's put them to flight." He said, "It doesn't matter. God can use many or God can use a few." But he said, "Let's go over and put them to flight." They were climbing toward the top of the precipice when they came to a place where there was a sharp rock on one side named Bozez, and there was a sharp rock on the other side named Sinek. Now, these rocks were famous rocks, like our Rock of Gibraltar, our Plymouth Rock. These were famous rocks visited by tourists. They were side by side, and the journey that Jonathan took with his young bodyguard led him between those two rocks. A sharp rock on one side, Bozez, a sharp rock on the other side, Sinai. And tonight, I want to speak on that subject, between a rock and a hard place. There are dozens of you, I think there are hundreds of you, tonight, to whom this message will apply. Tonight, you not only have a burden, but you have a burden on either side. You not only have a jagged place on one side, but you have a sharp rock on the other side. And you find yourself tonight between a rock and a hard place. I think you'll find the message appropriate for this age in the life of our country. Our Heavenly Father, we come now to the last sermon on Sunday, preached in this pulpit in 1981. We find ourselves, though we're spoiled and our worst is better than the rest of the world's best, nevertheless, our way of life has been bothered a bit, hindered a bit, because our prosperity has lessened. We think it's a recession, and comparatively speaking, it has caused us some discomfort. I pray tonight that you would help us to gain insight as to what we ought to do when we come to life's burdens and problems, especially when they be on every side. Give us what we need. In Jesus' name, amen. The Philistines were just over the hill. Jonathan must go to them. He gets his young bodyguard, his sword bearer, and he says, "Let's climb the hill and let's put the Philistines to flight." He comes to a place where on one side there's a sharp rock named Bozez. On the other side, there's likewise a sharp rock that is named Sinek. Sometimes in our lives, problems arise. It may be tonight that your problem is financial. It may be that you're one of those who's been laid off in recent weeks. It may be that you find yourself tonight with bills unpaid, with no seeming way to pay them. It may be that tonight you're facing a rock that is a problem concerning your health. It may be that you're taking tests now or waiting the results of tests that have been taken And tonight, you find yourself facing a jagged place. There is a rock in your pathway. There is a burden, a problem in your life concerning your health. It may be that in the case of numbers of folks, and I know numbers of folks who have, it may be that cancer lurks even now in your body. You know it's there. You wonder. And when you go for your 6 months checkup or 3 months checkup, you go with apprehension and fear, hoping and praying and wondering if it's all okay. You have a problem concerning your health. It may be tonight that you have a problem concerning the loss of a loved one. It may be the one who shared your bed has been taken from you. It may be the one that sat across from you or beside you at the kitchen table has been taken from your life. It may be that your little one has been taken from his or her crib. And tonight, you're facing the problem of the loss of a loved one. It may be that in recent days, your dad has been taken, or the one that bore you in her own body and went to the jaws of death that you might live. That one has been taken from you, and you miss her or you miss him tonight. It may be that divorce has come into your home. You heard about the fellow, didn't you? He went to the preacher and said, I have a problem. And the preacher said, what is it? And he said, it's my wife. My wife has run off with my best friend. And I miss him. But it just may be that your best friend is missing. It may be that divorce or a broken home has come. Look, folks, laugh when I tell them. I haven't got time to stand up here while you catch them. So I'm saying that it may be that domestic problems have come your way, and that's your jagged place tonight. It may be that unemployment has come your lot. You've noticed that others were laid off and unemployment came to them, but you kept on working. Now, in recent days, in the hardest time of the year, you find yourself unemployed. It may be a legal problem. It may be that you have unexpectedly been hurled into a lawsuit, and you're concerned. You've never been to court before, and you don't know exactly how to handle the situation, and all of a sudden, you find yourself in a lawsuit. It may be that some wayward child has broken your heart. It may be the one that you carried in your own body, fed when he could not feed himself, and clothed when he could not clothe himself, and at whose bedside you paced the floor and knelt and prayed. It may be that one has broken your heart. And young people, that's one of the main reasons why you ought to live for God. You have no right to break the heart of the one who nurtured you. And I get a little sick and tired of young people saying, I just don't care for moms and dads. You know how moms and dads are. Oh, you little good-for-nothing punk, you ought to have yourself swatted good and hard. The worst mom and dad here deserves your love. The worst dad in this room deserves your admiration. He who worked hard and with the sweat of his brow to keep your body fed and to keep your body clothed and to keep your body warm and to give you security. If he's done nothing else than that, you owe him a debt you'll never be able to pay unless you turn out right. But it may be that tonight your problem has been a wayward child. But when a man meets one problem, usually he can go through it. He can concentrate all of his energies on that one point. If a man, for example, has a financial problem, he can concentrate all his energies on that one point. If he has an illness, he can concentrate all of his energies on trying to get well. If he has a death in the family, he can concentrate his energies on trying to get the grace of God, have overcome his burden and bereavement. Or a wayward child, a man can concentrate all of his prayer time and all of his energies on praying for that wayward child. Yet, when one burden comes, one problem comes, there are places where we can seek refuge. For example, let's suppose that you lose your job. And that problem comes to you. You all of a sudden have lost your job. But there is a loving wife at home who understands. And she says, honey, we'll make it somehow. We're going to make it. I'll guarantee you we're going to make it. And I want to tell you something, folks. Some of the greatest warriors in this church or in this world are those wives tonight of many of our young men, especially our college students, married college students, who have said to their husbands, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. And I wish all young ladies, you have a chance to be a hero. You have a chance to stand beside your husband. You have a chance to say, we'll make it. You have a chance to sacrifice. You have a chance to help him become the man of God that he wants to become and that God wants him to become. And that, thank God, that great army of young ladies who, when their husband comes home and says, I lost my job, she says, we'll make it somehow. Don't you worry. And there's a kiss on the cheek and a warm embrace and an encouraging word. Thank God for them. Would God you Job's wives could become that kind also.
I knew you'd lose your job. You drug me up here to school, and I'm living in a little hick of an apartment in the attic.
May you get the hiccups and keep them the rest of your life. And may bed bugs dot your pillow when you go home tonight after the service. I'm saying that thank God for the fact that there are these young ladies who are going through the fires. And I want you to know, I salute you, young ladies, for the way that you're standing beside your husband. And so you have a problem like that. The finances are a little hard. And Christmas time comes, and it looks like that not much is going to be under the Christmas tree, though our church tried real hard this year to see that everybody was cared for. And if you weren't cared for, it's because you didn't tell us that you needed help. Every single family that let us know that they had a need this year, that their children were not having Christmas, they got a sizable gift from First Baptist Church at Hammond. And I'm saying that, but thank God, when the adversities come, and the financial problem comes, the unemployment comes, that that's all it is, you can find refuge in the loving arms of a loyal wife. Or let's suppose that you lose a loved one, and you turn away from the silent city of the dead, and you walk home to a place that's empty at the table, and a bed that's empty, a crib that's empty. But there's a loving family, a happy family, and they stand beside you. And it makes it easier for you to take the burden that's come your way. Or it may be that your husband has died. But he left you in a good condition financially, and he left you with some children who love you and are a comfort to mom and dad. Now listen to me, kids. You young people that have dads who've gone on to heaven, and your mom has been widowed, God pity you if you break her heart. I just don't know of anything. I mean, the most impeccable young people in this room ought to be those young people whose moms have had to carry the load by themselves. I tell you, there's nothing makes me any sicker to find some little punk that whose mom has carried the load. She has to fill out the income tax and unscrew the pickle jar and take care of the income tax report and take care of all the burdens and the bill paying and the finances and the training of the children, and the cutting of the Christmas tree, and all the rest of it. And then the children, who ought to say, thank God for my mother. Instead, they break her heart and do not make it worthwhile for her sacrifice and her doing without. But it may be that that the husband leaves. But the finances are okay, and there's a son who can lean on, or children that can help you and encourage you. Or it may be that you lose a child, and yet your husband is there to give you strength. Your wife is there to give you strength. It may be that your name has been scandalized with the careless, thoughtless words of some scandalizer. And yet there's a good family and a good job, and most of life is okay. What am I saying? I'm saying that it's bad when a problem comes. But when a problem comes and you can concentrate your life on that problem and other areas of your life are in good repair, then usually you can make it. However, times come in our lives when there's trouble on the right and there's trouble on the left. I'm talking about this. The husband leaves and poverty comes. Here's a wife. Suddenly, her husband's gone and she's tried to do right, but he's gone. Now, added to that problem of losing your husband, there is poverty. You have no income. He won't support the family. He won't support the children. And you're not prepared or trained to do anything. And here you find yourself having to do tasks that you would not have had to done. And you have a sharp place on one side and a sharp place on the other side. That's the people to whom I'm speaking tonight. Oh, here's a wayward child. Breaks your heart. And you sit at home and are brokenhearted because of a child going into sin. It may be that girl has gotten pregnant before she got married. It may be that boy has joined a hippie gang. It may be that your heart is breaking because of a child that's gone astray. And yet, add to that, there comes, say, the death of a loved one. I know a case in this church, a fine family, whose hearts have been broken because of a wayward child. And then added to that, suddenly, another child was taken in death. Not just a problem. There is a sharp rock on the left, and there is a sharp rock on the right. Or it may be unemployment has come, and that's bad enough. But added to unemployment, serious illness has come. I'm thinking of a man right now in this room who has serious heart condition, and yet he's also lost his job. Now, there's a sharp place on the left, and there is a sharp place on the right. There's a jagged rock on the left, and there's a jagged rock on the right, and they are between a rock, and a hard place. I'm talking about a young man that has lost his job, and that's a problem on one side. And then on the other side, he has to quit school. He's dreamed of coming to college. God's called him to serve God in a full-time capacity. He comes to school, gets a job, and the recession comes. He loses his job. That's a hard place on one side. And then, all of a sudden, because of that, he has to leave, quit school. And now he has a sharp place on this side. He's between a rock and a hard place. Or maybe there's someone who is bereaved and yet in destitute circumstances. A sharp rock on the left and a sharp rock on the right. Or maybe your husband dies. Your children break your heart. Bad enough to have a child break your heart. Bad enough to have a husband die. But your husband dies, and your children break your heart. A sharp rock on the left and a sharp rock on the right. Mrs. John Rice, for example, in the last 12 months, she's lost her husband, Dr. Rice. She's lost her oldest daughter, Grace McMullen. And she also lost a brother. In 12 months, the death of her husband, the death of her oldest daughter, the death of a brother in 12 months. Now, what is it? A sharp place on the left and a sharp place on the right. Alan McMullen, Mrs. Rice's and Dr. Rice's son-in-law of the oldest child, he lost his wife, and he himself is also seriously ill with sugar diabetes. And the last I heard, he may have to lose a foot because of that, just having placed his wife's body in the grave. Young fellow, sit up back here while I'm preaching and listen to me. This is not a slumber party. This is a preaching service, and I intend you to hear. All the rest of you can wake up too. I've got some things to tell you. You need to hear what I'm saying tonight. And so, here's Alan McMullen facing maybe amputation of a foot, his wife's body just laid to rest in the grave, and between a rock and a hard place. I'm thinking about years ago, one of our fine members, Bill and Ida McKeegan, in the church here. Bill McKeegan, he was one of the fathers of our bus ministry. One of the first bus routes we ever had was Bill McKeegan's bus route. And Bill McKeegan, by the way, was largely responsible for helping us start the deaf ministry also in this church. And at the age of 50, one Saturday morning, Bill got up. He felt a little dizzy and suddenly collapsed and fell dead. And no warning whatsoever, no heart condition whatsoever. Bill was a deacon here. And then Ms. McKeegan left with a rock on one side. Her son, Steve, wasn't it? Steve McKeegan. Then Steve came to my office one night with his little bride and said, "Brother Hiles, the doctor says I have cancer." I recall that day I went to a hospital on the west side of Chicago, and Steve was dying. He said, "Preacher, I hurt, I pain. Oh, preacher, it hurts, I want to die, preacher." And soon the message came that his little wife was left a widow. And there was Ms. McKeegan. Her husband died. And not many months after, her son, only son, Steve, died. And there she has a sharp place on the left and a sharp place on the right between a rock and a hard place. Now the question comes, what to do? What did Jonathan do when he came between a rock and a hard place? Ladies and gentlemen, you only have two choices. You go forward, you go backward. When you have a sharp place on the left, you can't go to the left. You have a sharp place on the right, you can't go to the right. Now, if you had a sharp place on the left, you could go to the right. But when you come between two sharp rocks on either side, one on either side, there's no place to go except you go forward or you go backward. Now, the temptation is to go back. The temptation is to go back home. Temptation is to quit. Temptation is to go back. But the truth is, you got a sharp rock over here, a sharp rock over here, and the enemy is just ahead. But what did Jonathan do? Jonathan kept on climbing. That's what he did. He kept on climbing. I'm talking to folks tonight who have a between a rock and a hard place, a sharp rock over here, a sharp rock over here. You say, preacher, what can I do? Keep on climbing. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Wake these boys up right here. Wake them up. Sit up here, fellas, and hear me. Sit up there. Listen to church. If they would go to sleep again, whack them on the head there and wake them up. They ought to hear what I'm saying. And so I'm saying you got the rock on one side and a rock on the other side. Did it ever dawn on you that that's why I'm up here? Did you know this is not the lullaby song or go to sleep, my little buckaroo? The purpose of this service, honey, is that you may listen and get strength, and every child in this room needs to hear the preacher. I think I told you I was preaching to my grandchildren down in Texas not long ago. And little Teresa, she's in kindergarten or first grade, and she was writing there and drawing in church, and she looked up to her daddy, and she said, Daddy, Papaw's doing pretty good. You take the pencil. I'm going to listen. And so he doodled while she was listening. But I'm saying that here's a rock on one side, a rock on the other side, and the enemy is before. And what did Jonathan do? Jonathan said, let's climb. Let's go forward. Let's go on. And that's the only way to do it. I mean, if you got a rock on one side, rock on, keep on going. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table and a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Little widow tonight, little widow, having a tough time making it, climb higher, higher, higher. A man lost your job, what can you do? Keep pressing on. Don't turn back. Anybody can go backwards. You keep going. Keep pressing on. Job was between a rock and a hard place. He was between several rocks and several hard places. Here's Job. He found out one day that all his property had been blown down by a tornado. Oh, the devil had him. And then he found out that his kids, 10 kids, had all been killed. And then he got the disease of elephantiasis, a form of leprosy, where boils were all over his body. And then he lost all of his sheep and camels and oxen and asses or donkeys and lost his wealth. And then his loving wife came and she said, oh, just curse God and die. Oh, I love that. I told you before, I love that. If anybody in the Bible got what she deserved, Job's wife got what she deserved. They had 10 kids. All 10 were killed, you know. And the Bible says they had 10 more kids. Would you like to guess who had those 10 more kids? And she stayed pregnant 90 months. And may you wives that don't support your husband, may you stay pregnant till you get right with God. And that's a heap of pickles, brother. An awful lot of pickles. Joe's wife, won't you curse God and die? Oh, what a chance she had. What a chance she had. But Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job said, onward, forward, I'll keep climbing, I'll not turn back. And Job kept on going. There's some folks in this room tonight having a pretty tough time. I know. There's some folks that like to turn to the right, but there's a rock there. You'd like to turn to the left, there's a rock there. And the enemy's ahead. Just keep on going. Just keep on going. I said to a man last night, I said often, if you come to Hiles Anderson College, you keep on going, you get that piece of paper. If you're 25 years old now and you're getting the old age pension when you graduate from college, you keep on that road. You get that piece of paper. I mean, if you've got to, we got to deliver your diploma to the rest home, you get that piece of paper. Now, you get it. You stay on the go. You stay on the road. You keep going forward. Don't you go back. Don't you go to the right. Don't go to the left. There's tragedy to the right. There's tragedy to the left. There is shame by going backward. Just keep on going. And Jonathan said, his servant said, what do we do? A rock on the right, rock on the left. Let's go back. No, he said, no, we'll just keep on going. He said, God can use many people and God can use a few people. Oh, God, deliver me from these quitters. You don't have to turn back. You don't have to give up. You don't have to wash out. You can go forward. And that's what God wants you to do when you come to a rock in a hard place. But you say, well, house, it's hard. Okay, then go forward in a hard way. Oh, but you say, I get lonesome. Then go forward lonesome. But you say, I'm sort of timid. Then suck your thumb while you go forward. But go forward. Hard place? In a rock. John Wesley. John Wesley was, read his diary sometime. It said like this. He said, June 15th, preached in St. George's, was kicked out, told never to come back. June 16th, preached in St. John's, kicked out of there, cannot return. June 17th, preached in St. Jude's, expelled, kicked out, can't go back there either. June 18th, preached in St. Anne's or St. something else, and St. Jack, and preached there. Can't go back there, kicked out. Said June 19th, preached in the street, kicked out of the street. June 20th, preached in the Netta, kicked out of the Netta. June 21st, preached in the graveyard. 20,000 came, 3,000 got saved. Yeah, got a problem. And they'd take John Wesley, and they'd write caricatures on the billboards in town, and they'd buy space in the billboards, and they'd curse him as he'd walk down the street, or ride down the street on his beast. He would look up and see himself cursed on billboards, and that was awful bad. Everywhere he went, he preached on his own, used his own father's tombstone as a pulpit. And while he had preached, they'd hurl stones at him, and blood streaming down off his face, onto his shirt and his clothes, as he'd stand and preach. And turn and go home. And then John Wesley would open the door, and he was married to a wicked woman. She never gave him one bit of encouragement. And stand with his enemies against him and rail against him and accuse him. And John Wesley at home had a rock and on one side, and out in the public he had a rock on the other side. And yet over 40,000 times the man of God walked into a pulpit or to a preaching place and preached the gospel of Christ and traveled 275,000 miles back in the days. They had no cars, no airplanes, and no trains and no buses, and kept on going. A rock on one side, an angry country, an angry city, an angry denomination. On the other side, Jezebel for a wife who hounded him and cursed him and criticized him and gave him nothing but torment. But the old man kept on going. God has a special reward for those who have a rock on one side, a rock on the other side, and yet they just keep on going. Don't whine. Nothing worse than whining. Oh, I'm just tired. You go to bed at night. Or you go to bed, oh, I'm just worn out. Well, dummy, that's what the stupid bed is for. Get in it and shut up. And this is too much snow. You like the Israelites. They'd say in the morning, would God it were evening. In the evening, would God it were morning. If you've got anything good to say, say glory to God. If you've got something you want to say, say hallelujah. If you're tired, say glory to God for bed. Driving down the street one day, and a fellow said to me, he said, how you doing? And you know how you'll do. You say, how you doing? And whatever he said, you say, good, good. I said, how you doing? He said, my dad died. I said, good, good. I didn't know what he had said. I said, my dad died. I said, good. He said, I said, my dad died. What do you mean, good? Oh, I said, isn't it good to have funeral homes and cemeteries for dead people? And I mean, there's something good about everything. And I asked God to forgive me about that. But I didn't mean it. But I'm saying that, okay, you got it tough. Okay, let other folks feel sorry for you. Let other folks feel sympathy for you. You just keep on going. You got something to say between a rock and a hard place, say glory to God. You got something to say between a rock and a hard place, say praise the Lord. You got something to say between rock and a hard place, say, hallelujah! Thank God! The Bible still says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The Bible still says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. The Bible still says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I'm saying, here's Jonathan and his bodyguard, and here's Moses on the right, and here's Sinai on the other side. And the enemy in the front of them, the Philistines. And Jonathan said, let's climb, onward, forward, let's go. Let's don't go back. We can't go this way. We shan't go this way. We'll keep on going forward. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had a wife. Mrs. Spurgeon was an invalid much of her life. And beside that, she had to spend so much time alone, as I mentioned to you in a recent message. Mrs. Spurgeon had a rock on one side. That was her invalid condition. And a rock on the other side, that was the fact that her husband traveled much of the time. And Mrs. Spurgeon one time said to Charles Haddon Spurgeon, said, well, why can't you stay home more? And she complained from her wheelchair. And Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, honey, do you think that when the Jew brought his sacrifice to the altar, do you think he complained about it? She said, no. Then he said, when we bring our sacrifice to the altar, should we complain about it? And there was a hard place on one side and a hard place on the other side. And she said, no, I don't think the Jew did complain, and I don't think I should complain either. John Bunyan, they said, to John Bunyan, they said, they put him in jail. For 12 years, he languished in the Bedford jail, or Bedford prison. And one day, a little girl came, and she said, I have some good news for you. She said, they say you can get out of jail. And John Bunyan was pleased to hear that. And they said, she said, they say you can get out of jail. And John Bunyan said, what are the conditions? And she said, just promise that when you get out of jail, you won't preach on the streets anymore. You can preach in a church, you can preach in an institution, but you can't preach on the street. Just promise, you get out of jail. And John Bunyan said, I'll rot in jail before I'll get out and refuse to obey my Lord's command. He said, if I get out of jail today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. And the little girl said, but Daddy, it was his own little girl. She was blind. And she said, Daddy, please, come home to Mommy. And come home to me. And come home to the family. Daddy, they'll let you out. All you got to do is just promise you won't preach on the streets anymore. And John Bunyan said, if I get out today, I'll preach on the streets tomorrow. And he stayed. His little daughter turned away brokenhearted with tear-stained cheeks. And John Bunyan picked up, of course, you know what he did, on milk bottle stoppers. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress. He kept on going forward. Kept on climbing. Jonathan, what you going to do? Going to climb. What are you going to do, Jonathan? Going to keep on going. Christmas Evans, that famous old preacher. On the day he got converted, he lost all of his friends. And then one of them picked up a stone, hurled it toward him, and put one of his eyes out. And on the day of his conversion, a stone over here lost his friends. A literal stone over here put his eye out. And Christmas Evans never had the sight in that eye again. What did he do? He kept on going for God. Kept on going. Let me tell you. The other day, Brother John, a man came over here, or one of these sections on this side, visited our church. He said, Brother Hiles, who's the little lady in front of you, sits in this section right here, with the sweet look on her face? And I said, there are a lot of little ladies with a sweet look on their face in this section over here. Let's see, there's well, let's try this section over here. And, I said, well, how old? He guessed how old she was. I said, what pew does she sit on? And he told me. And we came to the conclusion. In fact, I pointed her out one time, and it was Mamie Brown. And I told her the story about Mamie Brown. A heartbreak in her life, numbers of years ago. Then added to that heartbreak, I'll not mention, added to that heartbreak, her son, Mel, went bad. If there ever was a man that hated me, a young man that hated me in this church, is Mel Brown, Mamie's boy. Is he your oldest boy, Mamie? Only boy. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, sure. You got two other ones. Sure. Older boy, Mel. Mel Brown. We used to go to the Browns and Mrs. Bowling to eat, and Mel wouldn't even come to the table. He'd stand in the kitchen and look and make faces at me, look around the door like that, and look at me like that, hard and mean. If there ever was a young man who hated this preacher, and if you have, it was Mel Brown. And funny thing, New Year's Eve, how many years ago, Mamie? 15 years ago. New Year's Eve, Mel was going to go out and paint the town red. Living in sin. Almost, if he was an atheist, almost an atheist. So the buddy came by to get him on New Year's Eve. God bless Mamie. She stood true all these many years. And Mamie had one of my tapes playing it. And this guy was a Catholic. And so he started listening to my tape. Mel wasn't quite ready yet. And started listening to my tape. And I was hollering and screaming and kicking and bellowing. And he said, who's that? And Mamie said, "That's my pastor." He said, "My pastor doesn't preach like that." And he got interested, and he listened to that whole sermon. And he said, "Do you have any more tapes of that preacher?" And so Mamie said, "Oh, yes." So she put another one on. And Mel came down and said, "I'm ready to go." And his buddy said, "I don't want to go. I want to stay and listen to this preacher preach." And he did. And Mel had to sit there and listen to me preach all the way. They had a watch night service there in Mamie's house. And there's old Mel wanting to go. And his buddy wanted to listen to me preach. And they saw the old year go out and the new year come in. Listen to me preach. And God got a hold of Mel Brown's heart. Mel Brown got saved. While I'm standing here preaching tonight, he's standing in Rock Island, Illinois at the Edgewood Baptist Church. A fine church. He's preaching the Word of God there as I'm preaching it here. Now, why? Why? Well, that little gal right there, when she came between a rock and a hard place, she kept on going. She kept on going. You weary of it, I'm sure, but I've seen the woman I call mother many, many times between a rock and a hard place and nobody in front but the enemy, but she kept on going. And I think tonight about Mrs. Loser. I'm sure she's back there. She is. I was thinking about Mrs. Loser. Oh, you don't know the burdens that lady has carried. You don't know the heartache. You don't know the rock on one side and the rock on the other side. But she kept on going. She's got four boys. One's pastor down here in Decatur, Illinois. And one's pastor out in Nevada. And another is assistant pastor. And the other is a fine, faithful church member serving God. And why? How did she do it? How do you rear four boys like that? You get in a rock and a hard place. You just keep on going. I looked back and saw Glenn Smith and Ivan May back there. God bless him. Glenn said everything wrong with him a guy can have wrong with him. Heart attack and open heart surgery and cancer and mental problems. I'm sorry, that's Ivan May. But yet all there he sits back there. How Ivan May, and you don't know the burdens those folks have had. You don't know the heartaches they've carried through these years. Well, Brother House, oh, by the way, they have three sons. One's a pastor. Another's a pastor. Another's an assistant pastor. Sort of makes it worthwhile, doesn't it, Mamie? Sort of makes it worthwhile, doesn't it, Glenn? Just keep on going. Just keep on going. You'll be glad you did someday. Oh, I know, Brother House. I have the burden and the heartache, and I can't turn to the right, and I can't turn to the left. I don't see how I can go forward. Okay, you may just go just one little six-inch step at a time, but go forward. You may just barely be able to walk, but go forward. You may can just lean a little bit today, but lean forward. Keep on going. Don't turn back. Between the rock and the hard place, you keep on going. The victory's going to come. I was thinking this week about Adrienne Hidgard, and I'm not going to say a great deal about her, but nobody in this room knows what she's been through this year. I've tried to be a pastor and a friend and a dad to her, and nobody knows. Oh, you don't know the burden she carries. But I got a little note, and she said, "Brother Hiles, thank you for all the help, and thank you for all the encouragement." And she said, "We're so happy." I understand. How can she say she's happy? You know who does all the griping? Folks have it the best. Folks have it the best. All the complaining, folks have it the best. The other night, I had an appointment with Lynn Conger. Lynn doesn't move with coordination like we do. Lynn had a tumor on her brain. We think she's been healed, and we trust God that she has been. We thought she'd never make it through high school. Brother John, I never thought she would make it through high school. But now, she's a senior in high school. And I talked to her senior poem of the night about her future. They got to think about Mrs. Conger. A family, rear alone. What's the basketball boy's name? Darren. I want to say Darrell. Darren Conger. I mean, there's little Lynn, tumor, and not coordinated too well. And there's Darren, retarded. But there she is, all those kids to rear by herself. I got thinking about her. So many others whose names I could call. As we come to the close of the year, May I say to those of you that don't know how you can face tomorrow, you can face tomorrow. My Lord knows the way, sing it through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Yes, He does. My Lord knows the way through the... Yes, He does. All I have to do is follow. You know, God doesn't take you. God doesn't take you through the rock. No, sir. It didn't say, my Lord knows the way when I turn back. It doesn't say that. No. When the Israelites came to the wilderness and got in the wilderness, and they couldn't go to the right, couldn't go to the left, and they're in the wilderness, they couldn't go back either because there's a Red Sea there, and God doesn't part the Red Sea for us going backwards. Strength for today, sing it, is mine all the way, and all that I need for tomorrow. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Amy, when you go down to Rock Island, sit out there and hear Mel preach, aren't you glad you didn't turn back? Glenn and Ivame, you sat there beside the bed, Ivame, and looked at Glenn and wondered if he'd last. And Glenn, you wondered when they put the ether or put you to sleep if you'd wake up in heaven or wake up here. And you go down and hear Terry preach or Tim or Tom. Aren't you glad just to sit out? Mrs. Loser, when you go out there, you're out. I think you're out there when I was out there, weren't you? I go out there to Nevada and see Larry preach and go down and hear Dick preach. Aren't you glad you stayed in the battle? Aren't you glad you didn't turn back? Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you, folks, it's worth it if you just keep on going. But you say, preacher, it's hard. I know. That's the way you win battles. Oh, Dr. Rice, you say, everybody wants to belong to the army of the Lord, but everybody wants to be in the quartermaster corps. Nobody wants to be in the trench. Nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to go forward. Ah, there are warriors all over this room. There are people all over this place tonight. You know, a man in this church that cuts up the most with me is John Penley. John Penley is the only man in this room that can outwit me. He can halfway outwit me because all he has is a half wit. But if you think of somebody in this church that's happy and has a lot of fun in life, it's John Penley. I remember that night he was singing here on the platform. Made a mistake one day and asked him to sing in church. And he said, John weighs, as you know, about 400 pounds. John's a big man. And I said, okay, come on, Slim, and sing. He said, thank you, Bushy. I think I will. But I remember that night when little Danny was over at the University of Chicago Hospital, Billings Hospital, and with leukemia, 4 o'clock in the morning, the doctor said he won't last but a few minutes. And John said, is there anything, Danny, you'd like to have? You're going to go to heaven now. And Danny said, I'd like to see my preacher. And Brother Charles Hand and I drove through the night, and I walked down the dark corridors of the hospital. I remember that day that Madeline told us that Danny had leukemia. I remember how heartbroken she was. I went over to Billings Hospital and picked up little Danny and hugged him and prayed for him. And in a few minutes, he went to heaven. Rock? Yeah. Hard place? Yeah. But who can ever forget the testimony as they walked by the altar here over here and looked in the face of that little boy with a smile and the grace of God and was obviously manifested. And now through these years, God has blessed them and made them an integral part of this church here. Rock in a hard place. I know a man in this church who for a year or so has been between a rock and a hard place. I won't tell you his name, but he sang a solo this morning from this platform. And yet he blesses our hearts as he sings. Just keeps on. Just keeps on. In a rock and a hard place. I'm talking tonight to a lot of people. You don't know which way to go. It's not easy. It's not easy for a fellow to come home and say to his wife and babies, I want to tell you something. And he sets the children down, sets his wife down in front of him, and he says, my boss came today and said I'm laid off. I guess there's nothing hurts the pride of a man like that. And he bows his head. Oh, dear young wife, or middle-aged wife, or old hag, either one, doesn't matter. What an opportunity you have to walk over and pat him on the back and say, it doesn't matter. God's going to take care of us. We're going to make it. I can get a job. Hey, that's a good idea. I can get a job. We're going to make it. Can rock in a hard place. I'm talking to mothers and fathers tonight in this room whose little children have lost their hair. I'm talking to little children whose mothers and fathers have lost their hair too. But I'm talking to the fathers, mothers whose little children have lost their hair because of leukemia and the treatment for it. The hair comes out. The other day, a couple waited outside the office and they, you know how you have eternal hope. Hope springs eternal. And they said, Brother Hiles, what's the word? Not arrested. Remission. Said Brother Hiles. Our little boy, he's in remission. And how excited they were. Rock in a hard place. What can you do? Just keep on going. Just keep on going. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord will answer. He'll answer you. God keeps His promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. Got any rivers that seem to be uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things that seem impossible. He knows 1,000 ways to make a way for you. Christmas morning, around the tree. I'm not sure anybody else thought about this. But I guess the person that seemed like she's having the most fun was Melissa, our little 2.5-year-old granddaughter. She's just old enough to enjoy Christmas a whole lot, you know. Everything is a challenge to her. But as I saw her running around, I couldn't help but think of that day I was driving through the mountains of Northern California. And I called the doctor, and the doctor says, your daughter's bad sick. She's trying to give birth to a baby, and she couldn't. And I drove through the mountains and cried and prayed. Every time I came to a pay telephone, I called the hospital. Thank God Dr. Rawlins and Dr. Schwartz were so kind, let me talk. Every time I called, I got right through to one of the doctors, and they talked to me. And then I got to Lucerne, California, where I was going to preach, and called, and I said, Dr. Rawlins, please. And Dr. Rawlins came on the phone. I said, how's Linda? And she said, she's all right. And she said, you have a granddaughter. But then went to the hospital. Her little foot was turned in. One foot was like that. The other foot was turned in facing her leg. And that meant twice she'd have to go under the surgeon's knife as a little baby. And Linda and Johnny had to go through it. And I couldn't help but rejoice as I saw her walking, running around the house. Little foot turns in a little bit, but she's able to run and play. And I thought about how Linda and Johnny had been through it, rocking a hard place. I'll guarantee you one thing. They're closer because they did. And I'll guarantee you another thing. They're closer to Jesus because they had to go to a rock and a hard place. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness. I pastor a lot of broken-hearted people tonight. I pastor a lot of folks tonight don't know what tomorrow holds. I pastor a lot of people, not just the one burden, but two burdens. Not just the one side, but both sides. May I serve notice to you the answers to keep on going forward. Just keep on going forward. My Lord knows the way through the wilderness, and all I have to do is follow. Between a rock and a hard place. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. And one day, like Jonathan of old, you'll come to the, you'll scale the top of the peak of the mountain, and you'll see the sun shining through, and the enemy scurrying down the other side, and you'll arrive at the victory. Our Heavenly Father, bless the message to our hearts tonight. Encourage the hearts of our people who tonight, not just one burden, but two. A sharp place on one side, a sharp place on the other side. Between a rock and a hard place.